When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, what's going on, No Bad Dog Army? Welcome back to the podcast. This is probably one of the better dog reactive podcasts that we have because we really dive into the life of a reactive dog owner and the pitfalls, the frustration, and some of the wins that we get to have. And one of the things that I'll tell you right now that I've never said before, that's kind of the beauty of the podcast, is I kind of sharpen my tools and become a better teacher and educator. And one of the things that I said in this was really helpful to me, which I said, as owning a reactive dog, you are responsible of everyone else's dogs, unfortunately, when you're out. So that's kind of the dive that we take, kind of talking about, well, when we're out, what should we do? Like, we have a reactive dog that's trained and listens, but when a dog comes up, or if I'm out for a walk and blah, 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 and these are the types of things that we're talking about. So this is a dog owner couple that have two reactive dogs that are well-trained and they dump training, and they're just troubleshooting through the things that they need to do to be successful. Make sure you guys listen to the end because I'm going to be answering six of your dog training questions because I didn't have time last episode. And as you guys know, or maybe you don't know, I am doing a giveaway where I'm coming to your house to train your dog for free. I'm flying to you with my team and we're training your dog for free. We're doing that in the members club. If you guys want to be a part of it and you want to be automatically entered to win, all you have to do is click the link to below and join the all access No Bad Dog membership program tier. You'll automatically be entered to win. And yeah, let's get into the podcast. Remember to listen to the end for your dog training questions.
Then I watched him unleash like four golden puppies on Perseus and just like the puppies all over him, was not respecting his space. And I was just like, all right, this is what he did. And as soon as Perseus growled, he picked him up by his like prong collar, held him up by his top feet, shocked him at 50, and then told me that was a 2 out of 10 and that he had done 10 plus out of 10 to my dog. And mm-hmm. I was just like, and I also watched this other puppy jump up and him kick it. And so yeah, that's what I'm concerned about. And then we get into the last part, which is.
Yeah. So we move into the bus full time in November. We were like kind of on the road. And Perseus was doing okay, but like probably becoming more territorial and like defensive of the bus, I would say, over time.
But amazing outside the bus. He takes him to work every day and yeah, everybody
doing,
loves him.
Doing fine like outside the bus. Like, you know, yeah. when he's got like a purpose and he's working, he's like generally pretty good. And then we went to dinner with my aunt and uncle like a month ago, and they wanted to come meet him, and he was sleeping in the back of the car, and I like opened up the back thing, and he was like super tired and whatever. And my aunt, who had never met him, and like, I mean, I didn't do everything right in this scenario, but my aunt came up and was like kind of in his face and stuff, and he like bit her in the face and like kind of out of nowhere. Like didn't really see that one like coming at all, because like it just like it had only happened really the one time a while ago, but this was a bite. This wasn't like a nip. This was like
same car.
I
wasn't there again.
Sloan wasn't there.
They don't have animals. Like, they have cats. They don't have dogs. Yeah. And then like the last part of it too is like Perseus over the last like 5 months, like Monday through Friday, goes to a co-working space with him. And like every single day there's somebody that's like, that is one of the best trained dogs I've ever seen. Yeah. Like he is a very well-trained dog. He knows what he's doing. And so
he's a well-trained bad dog.
Well, that's like, what I always say. There's good dogs and there's bad dogs. My dog is a bad dog that is well-trained. like that is just, which like, I know against your thing. Cause you say no bad dogs.
I know, right. But, like, yeah, we're kind of joking. Yeah. But like, yeah, he just, it seems like there's, there's just this like fundamental thing, and I guess this is
where you come in,
where I come in. Help. Like it feels like there's something that we're just like not getting at with like mm-hmm. some root cause of like insecurity, fear, anxiety in him. And like it seems like whenever we like correct him and try to do things, we're just like masking the symptoms of like what's there, basically. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he's great with new people, and like especially when we take him through, like, you know, we'll like have him sit, we'll give them some food, he'll say go say hi, he'll run over, take the food out of their hand, run back to us immediately, sit down and just look at us and kind of wait for what's next. And like generally, like, that's okay, but like,
yeah, he's fine when you do that. And like even in this situation, we knew he should have been taken out of the car, walked to the bathroom around, with them, yeah, and then go say hi. He would have been like,
yeah,
fine. But now we're just like so concerned. And I guess the last point, and this is like where we really need help in conversation, especially for our relationship as well, is like, he knows when he's doing something wrong. If he sees another dog and he cries and then like runs around and ticks, like as if you're going to shock him or you're going to prong him. Like he knows, like mm-hmm. he cries and then is like, oh, I shouldn't do that. And then we'll stare at you. And so John has been like there's something a step before that we should be doing or that we failed at. And I know this was a lot of information, and hopefully it was all helpful that you can now provide us feedback.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think my question is what is your ultimate goal? I mean, what is your realistic expectation for Perseus and the things that you really want him to do? I mean, that's the first question I have.
I mean, the thing that I would like to not have happen is like, I would like him, if we're walking him on a leash, that like, if we encounter another dog, that there's not a 50-50 chance that he's just going to like launch at the dog or like start barking or growling. Or
I want to add to this, they are muzzled, even though Achilles hasn't attacked any dogs.
Yeah,
we're muzzling both of them.
Muzzling
it's done.
Them 100% for the last month, basically.
Yeah, they're muzzled at all times.
Yeah, so I think it's a pretty realistic expectation. You know, I think the first thing that you guys have to do that I think will help you guys out tremendously is just advocating for your dogs. Like you said, I my No Bad Dogs brand as a general is 97-98% of dogs who are looked at as misbehaved dogs is generally because of their owners don't know what they're doing. So, but I totally understand that there's dogs who don't like other dogs, and there's dogs who do want to kill other dogs, and there's dogs who don't want to be friends with people they don't know. I've had those dogs before. That's why I developed the craft that I have now, and that's why I only work with behavioral cases. I don't do basic obedience because of that reason, is because it's what I love to do. But my point is if you guys control your dog and you control the things around you, you're going to be 100% successful. Because everything that you've told me so far, the predication of the success is off of other people, which I can't do anything about. You could give me $1.6 million right now, and there's mm-hmm. nothing I could do for you. Nothing. It doesn't matter, you know, how much training you do. It doesn't matter how much your dog listens to you. If you can't keep your dog out of harm's way by advocating and managing, there's nothing anybody can do. So if you have a loaded gun that doesn't like other dogs, that doesn't like other people, but your expectations is for, and I don't think that this is, so I always get yelled at, so just hang on one second. I don't think your expectations is for this dog to turn around and be a therapy dog, but from what I'm hearing is we've done training, we've kind of had a bad experience, but we have a dog that is trained noticeably differently than most other dogs, or generally other dogs. This is a really well-trained dog. He just doesn't like other dogs, and he really doesn't like other people coming up to his space, which if you're at that point in your life, the only thing that's stopping you from being successful is your voice. That's it.
Yeah. So
somebody comes up with a dog, excuse my dog's training, you walk away, done. Next. Okay, can I go see your dog? I love your dog. No, Aunt May, you can't go see the dog. But I love dogs. You can't go see my dog. Okay, done. Next. So if you have a dog that just doesn't like other dogs, you have to then keep your, and you already know this. You got muzzles, you've got training, you're already managing. Hey, who's going to be there? Do they have dogs? Are they bringing their dogs? How old are their dogs? What are their dogs' breeds? Are they male? Are they female? You're already doing all this stuff. But from what I'm hearing, and then you guys can come back to me with your thoughts. But from what I'm hearing is we have, especially for Perseus, he's a well-trained dog who's great, who listens well. And as long as dogs don't come up to him and people don't come up to him, you're in heaven.
Yeah, I mean, and totally. I think, like, for particularly me and, like, things that we do, like, on the weekend and stuff, and, like, the lifestyle that we live, it's, like, not... I wish it was as simple as, like, we can just control... Like, I would love to go out climbing and to, like, bring him out there and mm-hmm. to, like... But, like, just logistically, even just thinking about that, like... There's like Sloan, I mean, is like
went,
holding the rope for me.
He went to Colorado. He understands.
Yeah, right.
No,
I mean,
one
it, right?
puts their dog on a leash
People
in Colorado.
Don't put their dog on a yeah. leash. Like, they're running around. Like, it's all a thing. And like, I mean, you may just tell us, Tom, like, hey, like for your like sanity and for his safety and for other dogs' safety, if you want him to bring him out climbing, you just always need to have him in a muzzle for the
I
rest
mean,
of
I already
his life.
Think that's...
And like, maybe that's it.
Well, I think here's. It's a great conversation, and I just had this with a family member who's struggling with this, and I totally empathize towards all of it, because to me, as a dog professional, seeing all the different behaviors and everything from killers, killing puppies, killing people, lawsuits, plastic surgery. I mean, I've seen a lot, you know, being in the court systems in being an advocate, you know, just being in the system, and I understand all of it, right? But I think too many people get on this, like, I don't know how to explain it, but so my family member was like, my dog doesn't like people, and he will try to bite somebody. He won't attack somebody. He'll just try to bite him. He'll come over, he'll jump on him, he'll nip him, scare the shit out of him. It's bad, scary. You don't want it to happen. Yeah. And so this is kind of where you guys are dealing with, is you have... If you switch your perspective and the way that you're looking at things, you'll be so much less stressed and happier. Because I think a lot of people try to put a square into a triangle hole where they're like you said, because right now it just seems like to me, again, from way out here, it's an inconvenience. At the I got a dog who doesn't like other people. I'm going to go hiking. Can I bring this dog? Yes. Would this dog benefit from me just walking it, hiking it, running it for an hour before I go hiking all day and living in the van, chilling by himself? He'd probably be way happier doing that. You'd be happier doing that. But then there's this one little thing in the back of your mind that says, well, wouldn't it be great to fit their picturesque thing to just bring my dog? It would, but it's going to cause you and your dog more stress. There's no ROI. Zero.
Yeah.
None. Mm-hmm. Your dog's like, I don't like people. You're like, I don't want to bring you around people. Okay, so you're just going to stay here then. So I think once you make that shift to say, hey, this is okay to do, then you'll be happier and your dogs will be happier and you don't have to worry as much. It's the same thing I was telling my family member, as I said, look, if you have people over, like, okay, Friday at 5, we're having people over. Okay, you already know that. So between 3 to 4:30, you have a window to go hike, walk, fetch, chuck it, whatever you need. Like, I did it with my dog. I mean, I flipped my camera right now. It's absolutely pouring, torrential pouring right now. I knew that was coming. It said it was going to start at 4:30. So what did I do at 3:30? I ran my dog till she couldn't breathe, and now she's sleeping. So my point is it's totally normal and okay and acceptable to adapt to the dogs that you have, because it sounds to me you have a perfect scenario, because there's a lot of people out there that have the dog that you have with no control. You guys have the best of both worlds. If we're going to get dealt a dog that doesn't necessarily really want other people in his face and doesn't want other dogs in their face, which I think 50% of dogs are like that. It's not like you have this, we have this. I mean, again, I think at best it's an inconvenience, which I would agree. I'd rather just go to the dog park and play on my iPhone and whatever. Yeah. It's just not realistic. So
yeah.
So I just think that if you change your perspective to say, this is how we need to live our lives, because what you're essentially asking is unrealistic, because mm-hmm. here, and again, here's what I'm hearing is, my dog listens really well. My dog is trained. My dog respects me. My dog's been through training. I want to go out and my dog will, yeah, sure. Perseus will listen to you, down, sit, stay. But if somebody comes up to your dog and you say, hey, please don't touch my dog, there's still even a split hair 50-50 chance. They're still like your aunt, right? I don't care. I'm going to put my face in your dog's face with the muzzle because I love dogs. Yep. And then they get nipped or bit. You have to climb down. Your whole day is ruined. Your dog looks like an asshole. When in actuality, you put your dog into that scenario.
Yeah.
So I have a few questions because I do agree. And I also want to, so when we sent him to training, all of the obedience training was actually done by us. We only sent him for reactivity. If I sent him to y'all, I'd be like, I would give you a list of all of the commands. I'd be like, please don't change them. This is what he knows. It was only for reactivity. And I'm looking, they're both on the ground, which is why I'm staring down. And I think that this is one of the things is like, he enjoys going on hikes and he enjoys even being around people as long as they're not like, we put him in a working outfit. So he actually is able to detect when I'm starting to go into like an anxiety attack and will pull my hands off my face and will lay on my chest and lick me, and is very like, has been very good at learning that training and was like, well taken care of in that way, and is very obedient in those instances. But the thing is that like, he, to be able to do that, he does come with me places. The plus part is most service dogs don't go places where other dogs are, and people, when they see service dogs, don't come up to them and try and play with them. They just kind of like stay around them. And
we've got a vest that says like, ask to pet, do not pet.
Yeah. So, and in those instances, it's great. He's fine. And the reason being is he's not getting eye contact. He's not having prolonged stares. He's not having people come up and walk up to him. And generally people stay around him. And so like, for example, right now, and I think that this is why we're on a call with you and maybe you can help us with this, is the instances in which he like sees a dog when he's on a leash, he like nonstop cries, but knows that he shouldn't be doing that. Like, is there another step that's even more nuanced that I don't understand, or that he doesn't understand, that like we could be doing or we could be taking, because we're less than 2 seconds within like a correction, whatever that correction is. And even when we redirect to something positive, for like the highest level of treats that we could give him down to like a ball or anything in between, like he still is reacting and then immediately turning around knowing that he shouldn't have done that. Like, that is what we're trying to, and it might be that we're at 80%, and that 80 to 100% is going to take years, but we don't know.
No,
I'll add like just one thing to that real quick too. And like, and this is like kind of more practical examples from the last few days. Like, we're at an Airbnb right now in Montana, and like yesterday, COVID stuff. And we were at like a kind of like a public camp spot and stuff. And
we're like at the Tetons,
like out of the Tetons, like near Jackson. And so in like both yesterday, and then like when we were at the Tetons, like the dogs were like leashed, pronged, muzzled. We have the e-collar, like the full get up basically. And like even then, like, you know, the dog like ran, like a dog, the dog that lives here at this Airbnb, like ran over to him, and it was like a golden retriever just wanting to say hi. And like, it shouldn't be on the people, you know. And like, he was in the muzzle, great, and he like lunged at him and I corrected and like everything, and nothing happened. But like, I understand what you're saying about like, don't put your dog in those scenarios, but like, there are just like times when it just like happens. And so there's like a risk management mitigation thing, and maybe we're just doing all of those things, but I guess I'm just wondering if there's like, kind of what Sloan was saying, something before that, well, that like we can be working on.
Yeah, I think in that scenario, as somebody who owned a dog that would kill a dog if they approached, that wasn't done properly at all. Mm-hmm. Like, you walked off the bus, you would immediately saw that golden, said the dogs are not coming off the bus.
Well, but I mean, that's the thing. I was like out, and then it came out from like around the corner and just ran up to us. And it was like, okay, like, you know, what do I do here? And I was like, just trying to keep him calm. You know, I just want to be totally honest with you. Like, the lifestyle that we live,
we're looking at houses. We're going to be moving into a house.
But like, it's there are just times when it's like not even possible because of like where we are, to like avoid a dog running up to us off leash.
Right. I mean, I totally agree, but there's also just so many other things that you could be doing that could deflect that, like 100%. Yeah, like I said, like I had a dog that would make your dog look like a puppy, and I lived 10 mm-hmm. years completely fine. And he was around hundreds of dogs every month, mm-hmm. no problems, mm-hmm. because I went, it's just common sense. If I'm staying at an Airbnb, if I'm staying at a hotel, if I'm staying at a campsite, how many dogs are there? Do you have a dog? Okay, great. I'm going to leave my dogs in. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're putting me on a campsite. You're putting me on a KOA. Okay. Do you know if there's any other dogs? Oh yeah, there's, okay. I'm coming out. I'm doing a walk in the morning, drinking coffee, making sure I'm checking. I mean, I totally am not disagreeing with you on, there is going to be dogs. There is going to be situations. And those are situations that, again, let's split hairs a little bit. So
yeah,
you say, I have a loaded gun right here in my hand. Okay. Mm-hmm. This loaded gun, when I get off the bus, is then potentially going to be a risk for other people. Mm-hmm. So if I rent an Airbnb from anybody, I'm going mm-hmm. to be asking them, curious, we're bringing our dogs. Do you guys have other dogs? Oh yeah, we have a beautiful golden, loves everybody. Perfect. Thank you so much for letting me know.
Yeah. So I mean, we knew that too. That's the thing.
But he's going to say that you don't rent here. You don't
but that's what I'm saying. And again, I don't want, here's what I want to be honest. I don't want you guys to think I'm blaming you. I empathize with you, but I'm being honest with you as somebody
it's our fault.
Who works professionally with reactive dogs and who's had a reactive dog, had an aggressive dog out of nobody's fault, right? The dog just doesn't like other dogs. I still was overprotective. But so there's that, right? So you do rent to, okay, so it's not even that. You'd split it even more than that. You would go out and just look at a situation. Like if I went into a situation and I didn't know the outcome, I wouldn't bring my dog out. And I never muzzled him. He's never muzzled. Not once in his life was he muzzled. But my point is, say you did do that and you're like, okay, you have a golden. Okay, let's go. Let's rent it anyway. Okay, it's completely open. There's nothing around. Do we know where the golden is? Nope. But let's get off the bus anyway. So we get off the bus, we go outside, and then the dog comes out. Like, do we have an extra leash? Do we know how to handle the situation? Am I alone? Do I have halt spray? Can anybody hear me if something does happen? So there's that, put that to the side. That's besides the point, but that all of those are very factual in that scenario because I wouldn't have gotten out of the vehicle. And if I did, so let's say what actually happened. So we get out of the car, the happy-go-lucky golden comes down, your dog lunges and growls a little bit, you pull your dog back, you get the golden away and you walk away. No big deal. Done. Over. Next. But that equation is my dog doesn't like other dogs. We have a dog that we can't control that came out of absolutely nowhere, which is still going to happen regardless of how much you walk up and down. Mm-hmm. I understand that. I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm just, these are types of situations. Like if I show up to a trailhead and I see pit bull lover, dog lover, and I love dogs on these bumper stickers, I'm not going there, right? So these are the types of things that you really have to consider owning. Again, personally for me, if you draw way back, it's an inconvenience, and I understand you want that golden instead of this dog, but that's not what you have. So when you get out of the car, and then the dog comes running up, and your dog lunges and goes, roo, 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 and the golden says, okay, and then walks away, your heart rate goes up, you can't breathe for a second, and then you go, well, that sucked, and you move on. But nothing of that scenario is, nothing's changed. So I think people regress in their own head, because they're like, oh my gosh, blah, blah, blah. What? No. There was nothing weird about that. Your dog doesn't like other dogs. A dog that you can't control comes running up. Your dog didn't like it. We knew that. The dog walks away. It sucked, but there's nothing that really happened that made you guys go, oh, we took a step back. You didn't. You already have a dog that, you know, that doesn't like other dogs. And it was just an unfortunate event. And thank God your dog was muzzled and the other dog walked away and that was it. But, wow. I don't know.
Yeah,
hold on. My whole system's going to restart because the power probably just went out. I don't know if you heard that. But anyway, so if the power does go out, it's going to unplug my thing, but I'll still be able to talk to you. So if you don't hear me for a second. But anyway, so I just think I'm just trying to give you guys perspective. And I again, now flipping the script on the other side of the spectrum, I totally understand. But there's just certain things. Again, I think you should just be offense instead of the defense of what mm-hmm. can we do to like you said, you brought your dog to a trainer. Your trainer basically said, I can't get your dog to like other dogs, you know, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, well, I don't really want that. I just like what's really going on. And if you have a dog that doesn't like other dogs, I think you just, if you made strategic decisions, I don't think you guys would be as stressed. My goal is to bring down your stress. Like, I want you to bring down your stress.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's, we've like definitely identified that. I guess like in that, like specifically with like this scenario here that happened yesterday, and like you, I mean, it's good that you're like, you know, we didn't regress, which is
right.
For it's good to hear that. I guess my thing is like, not that I ever expect Perseus to be the golden, but how can we get him closer to that? Like, how can we work towards that? Because to me, that's like the thing that we want to work towards. Even if I never think he's going to be fixed, I would want him 10% better if I can't have 100%. You know what I mean? I would want something better. Maybe it's not possible though. Like maybe there's mm-hmm. other things to focus on that are going to make him like a more calm.
Well, dog. I think it's. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I was just going to say like So there's two things. I think one, I don't think it's necessarily true that he doesn't like dogs. I think that there is some failure that I have done, including with the assistance of the lovely pandemic, that he was not socialized, and he has fear and protection over it, because most instances in which we've like had something bad happen, I haven't been there.
Right.
Yeah. When like and I'd also like to add that, like, this is Jono's essentially first dog, whereas I was raised with at least 7 dogs. Like, one died, we got another one at all times. And he always says that, like, the nuances of, like, the dog's emotion, I know before it even happens. Like, I know when they're going to tick before they even tick. I can just feel the energy change.
Yeah.
And it is near impossible to try and explain it to somebody who's only been around one other dog in their life. But then the other part of it is too, is like, it makes me feel like the energy that I'm feeling change is not attack. It's not attack because he wants to attack. It's
right.
It's frustration. It's fear. It's anxiety. And so then it brings me to this point, which is where I really think that like we need help, because I think that you made a valid point yesterday when we were talking, Jono, is he is waiting for the correction. Even if we don't correct him with the e-collar,
right,
he does his little like run around, like as if he'd been
like
corrected.
We're correcting him with e-collar,
like as soon as he growls. And so like I can't get any closer. Like it's like as soon as it happens, I'm less than a second. And do you have any advice around that? Because if we assume that he's not aggressive with other dogs because he doesn't like them, but instead that he has like fear or anxiety, and like we haven't conditioned him or socialized him in a way, like how does that kind of change?
Well, I think, it's tough because there's a lot of different layers to that, and it's a good conversation, mm-hmm. but I think a lot of it comes down to, is the dog leash reactive? Is the dog just aggressive? And if you don't know, you don't know. I mean, because the other trainer said, okay, yeah, he just hates dogs and that's it. And then you're like, well, I don't really know about that. And I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. But the leash reactivity is so real. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like this facade, this veneer of how people think their dogs actually are, and they're not. So mm-hmm. so let me go down that for a second. I had 2 dogs in my out-of-state program yesterday, or whatever, I don't know, this past weekend. Anyway, one bully terrier type thing, and then one German Shepherd, and they were both just hysterically react, like rah, 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 lunging, gnarly, mm-hmm. snarling. And I was bouncing between both of them because they couldn't get their corrections right. So their mm-hmm. timing was off. And I took the leash, nothing. They took the leash, everything. And it got to a point where, and I talked about this earlier too, but it got to a point where I've never had 2 dogs the same in the same program ever.
Yeah.
Because they were their owners just could not correct the dog right. And if they finally did it right, then they lacked somewhere else. It was just a handler thing. So it got so much to a point that I could see how frustrating it was for the owners, but I wanted them to understand how much of it was them. I didn't want them to think that you know, they were going down the wrong path. I just was like, you're just off. You're not connecting the way that you need to. And I literally brought both of the dogs outside by themselves into like by a fence. And they literally just sat there and just looked at each other and then mm-hmm. just waited to go back inside. So they were literally barking at each other and trying to get to each other for 2 days straight. I took mm-hmm. both of them, pulled them outside, and they sat next to each other and just waited to go back in. Could care less about each other. So my point...
Care less. That's a good way. Yes. That's what he is. He could care less.
My point is some dogs, like you said, have leash reactivity, which it's only frustration because they don't know what else to do. They don't know how to handle the situation. They haven't been equipped with enough, I don't want to say socialization, but they haven't been equipped with enough altercations or meet and greets or mm-hmm. they don't know how to do it. And then that builds into frustration and then you get the reactivity. Yeah. But the other thing that you guys are probably dealing with is if you worked with a compulsion only trainer, then that's the reason why there's so much stress behind your dog and other dogs is because think about the other end of the spectrum of positive only training and positive training in general is the dog is anticipating a reward and they're like their external, like they'll sap, like the Pavlovian conditioning theory type mm-hmm. stuff, right? Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Like the dog's like, something's going to happen. I'm going to get paid. I'm going to sit my butt down. I'm going to wag my tail. Or if a dog hears the garage door open, they're like, yay, they're here. So if you do that on the other end of only compulsion training, where all you're doing is you're not giving the dog a fair chance to make a good decision. You're not giving the dog an opportunity to see the bigger picture. The dog just starts to react and we nail the shit out of them. We choke them out. And these are things that people do every day. And it sucks because, to be honest with you, there's dogs that definitely can handle that. And that's sometimes what you have to match them with in a sense of you get a big 150-pound Cane Corso that wants to eat yeah. everybody. And you need to physically, like, there's never an excuse for abuse. But when mm-hmm. we're talking about corrections for dogs, there's certain dogs that are going to laugh at you if you tell them yep. no, right? So you can take that however you want with a grain of salt. But there are certain dogs who do well with compulsion training is what I'm trying to say to some degree, right? There is some compulsion that does need to happen for certain dogs who are genetically like just ready to go, right? But on the other end of the spectrum, if you do that with a dog who's just like, I'm just trying to figure life out. I'm not necessarily like an asshole. I'm not like, I'm just trying to figure shit out. And then you get a compulsion only trainer that if the dog makes a mistake, they get heavily corrected for it. They get choked out. They get strung up. They get hit with a 50. It's like terrible for them. And obviously like I'm a big proponent on balance. Like I believe in positive reinforcement. I believe in positive punishment. I mean, I'm somewhere in the middle. Like I believe that that's how we live, but I don't expect mm-hmm. like parents to beat their kids, and I don't expect to get a eighth place gold star because that doesn't exist, right? That's too extreme. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing in the dog world, in my opinion. And I think if that's the type of training that this dog has gone through to some degree, then that's where you're going to start to see that external immediate stress trigger where mm-hmm. now the dog is just conditioned that when he sees another dog, because he's got no window for opportunity to make this right, he sees a dog and then it makes it worse because now the dog is then becoming stressed because they're like, I'm about to get nailed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? So that was very helpful. Yeah. And I think that explains honestly a lot of it because we even like muzzled, allowed him to go play with two other dogs like 3 weeks ago, brand new dogs, never met them. One of them, teeth going border collie, started growling in his face. And I told him like, he come sat as soon as the dog was calm again. We re-released him and did that a few times and he was fine. Like at first he was a little apprehensive, but then he started to do the little hops. His hackles were up the whole time. Like, I mean, up his whole body, but he had a very like loose tail, not fast, not tall, like a very loose kind of
yeah.
running with his tail popping around. He seemed like calm and everything. And so I was like, okay, like we had some success. Like we had some success because he's almost 2 years old and we just released him with another dog growling in his face and he was fine. So in the instance with the golden retriever, do we take him off the leash? His recall, 100%. He is coming to really us good. Every yeah. single time. Do
well, that's, we, that, let me stop. Let me stop you there. See, that's mm-hmm. that's kind of the blend of the other thing that we were talking about is mm-hmm. we can't control how the other dogs are going to react because that's, you know, but that's where, so this is where the conversation needs to come in mostly with the owners because mm-hmm. it's kind of like kids, right? It's like, hey, you know, my kid's a little rough or my kid's a little loud or my kid's got, you know, whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, my kid will do fine with that or whatever. You know what I mean? So you have to have, I think that that's more of the trust conversation you need to have with the owner because if something doesn't happen, like you need to know that the owners aren't going to, because like I said,
I'm.
Yeah. Or just like, you know, I've seen so much crap. Like I saw this, like there's just so much crap. Like people, if you don't work with dogs professionally, mm-hmm. and you don't see the savagery that they can do, then a dog growling at another dog could send somebody to the mental hospital because they think that their dog just got eaten alive when really nothing happened.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I think that my answer and my input on that is the golden's coming running down and mm-hmm. you know the Airbnb owner, you talk to them and they're cool and they're like, and you're like, hey, my dogs are kind of, hey, no worries, man. Like, it's all good. Like dogs are dogs. And you're like, okay, you know, but you don't, you know what I mean? If you're in the general public, you just have a leash on you mm-hmm. and you say, hey, give me both of you, go get this golden and you, hey buddy. And then golden wags and you are the target. And then you leash this dog mm-hmm. up and you bring this dog back home and nothing happens.
How do people react when they do that? Because I have a feeling in Colorado, I'm going to get shots fired at me
but
my dog should live inside.
Right. But again, like this is the conversation. This is what's going to help you the most.
Yeah.
These are the conversations that you have to start having is
yeah.
you just leash the dog back up. You bring, oh yeah, no, he's fine off leash. I'll be out. You know, I just got some service dogs that I'm working on. We're working mm-hmm. on some really particular things. Okay. I didn't know. Be like, I didn't want there to be any tension between the dogs. Blah blah blah. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. So, but that when you're working with reactive dogs, you are in the people business. You're not in the dog business because mm-hmm. a lot of the success is going to be predicated off of managing other people and also mm-hmm. managing your emotions and your expectations. Because mm-hmm. again. Let's paint a picture. Golden comes up. You have your leash, your backup leash. You say, hey, take both of them. It doesn't matter who does this, right? You take mm-hmm. them. Okay, fine. Hi, buddy. And then the golden's, and this is all the golden mm-hmm. wanted. The golden just wanted to greet everybody. So then mm-hmm. you step out 15 feet. The other person maybe starts kind of wandering off into the bushes. Mm-hmm. We grab this golden, we leash it up. And then two things. Now we're good. Because you have the golden and then somebody else has the other dogs and you guys are walking together. Or you say, hey, I see the owner. I see them out in their garden. I see the house. I'm just going to bring the golden back. Or, hey, why don't you go bring dog A or dog B back, whoever you think is going to be a potential problem. Mm-hmm. And then let's let the golden back out and try to find the owner. I mean, you have mm-hmm. to take the assertive and like having a reactive dog, it is your, every dog around you is your responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd have never said it like that, but that's just how
it
is.
That's really good.
It really
that's
is.
Really
it's
good
just
way to think about it.
You have to like, okay, when I'm a professional, right? When I'm out, I don't look at dogs. I don't talk to dogs. I don't care about the dogs around me because I just, everyone does their own thing. But if there was a dog fight, I would feel obligated to help. And I would want to help. I don't want to say like, oh shit, I got to clock in. It's not that. I'm just, my point is like, you guys, here's my point. You guys having a reactive dog know more about dogs because you've done your research because people who have reactive dogs find me and find other people and read and watch and study and learn. So when you're already seeing all these dogs pulling their owners, not listening, taking cute pictures, but not respecting. I mean, these are things you're like rolling your eyes like, oh my God, this is a nightmare. And their owners are like, they have no idea. They, unless these people have seen a trained dog, they think their dog is great. But when you're out, it's kind of your responsibility to kind of audit where you're at, who's around. We're at an Airbnb that at any moment, a golden retriever could pop out of nowhere. And we don't even know if this golden's friendly, but those are the types of things that like what I would do when I was living in my van with my St. Bernard didn't like other dogs. He's not going to go mm-hmm. after other dogs, but if another dog came up to him, it would be on like Donkey Kong. So I spent his whole adult life holding back a 150-pound dog, or I should say managing a 150-pound dog, scaring off other dogs, giving him to my wife as I go and retrieve the other dogs, picking where I went, doing my research. And so my point is when we were in our van, we'd stay at KOAs pretty much at night because it's just a safe place to park. It's just $20 to park, right? You get in. But in the morning, I would make my rounds first to see who's there and whatever. And I would do that. It would take me 10 minutes to do that research. And then I would say, okay, we got two dogs over here, or we got a field over here and whatever. Those are the types of things that you should be doing as somebody. And to be honest, my other dog, Lakota, she's the kind of the same way as your dog. She is, to her people, actually, she's never been ever aggressive to people in her whole life. So it's similar to the fact of other dogs, where if there's other dogs, she could care less. Like, care less. It's like white on white walls. You're like, she doesn't even know that they exist. Doesn't care. But if they come up to her, she gets pissed because she's a working dog. And she's like, get away from me. It's like, she doesn't compute. Like a pet would come over and go, hey, I'm Pete. Let's play. And she's like, you're pissing me off. Get away from me. Like, we got work to do, man. Get out of here. So again, like, even with Thompson being gone, I only have one dog now. And when I'm out with her, if I see an off-leash dog, like, her obedience is good enough, I can down her in the middle of the road and find the owner of this dog. And then, but I have the halt spray on me. I have a spare leash on me. Like, I'm prepared. But I'm also, when I'm out, head on a swivel, looking at things. And so I think if you just switch your perspective up a little bit and you start really taking more assertive initiative, understanding that unfortunately when you're out in public, you are responsible of other people's dogs, because there's just people out there that aren't going to be respectful of your reactive dog.
Do you think that it's like worth trying to, so like, I feel like we haven't ever really like socialized him, or
Zach being like, your dog's gonna kill other dogs, right? I was like, I don't think so, but I mean, you also train a lot more dogs than I do, like, I don't know. Like,
but I mean, is it worth, I guess, in like structured, you know, kind of ways, and like probably with him with a muzzle on, to like try to get more of that interaction with him?
He said if the owners are okay with it, yeah, then like, you should let it play out.
Yeah, I think that, because that's your worry, right? Is like, if your dog growls and pins the dog on the ground, and the dog puts his tail between his legs and runs away, and you're like, oh, my bad. And then your buddies are like, oh, it's all good, man. Like, you know, they were being annoying anyway. You're good. Yeah. But if you get somebody randomly, so I think it's really like, if you guys, I always tell my clients is, you guys know your dog. I don't know your dog. Even if you worked with me for a week, I don't know your dog as much as you do. And if you feel like your dog really doesn't want to be aggressive and has the capabilities, which you said the other day, played with a new dog, and the other dog even showed teeth to your dog and he backed down. I mean, I think like having the muzzle on for safety is good, but then it's a whole conversation of, let's forget everything we just said and we just started talking on the phone. And you said, my dog's a little nervous of other dogs. How do I introduce my nervous or fearful dog to other dogs? That's a whole other conversation of how you would do that. So there's just different layers. But I think if you have some cool peeps that like know, like, there's just people who just get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, dogs snarl and growl at each other, nip at each other, correct each other, and they're like, laughing. And then other people are like literally bringing their dog to the vet for like a CAT scan. You're like, really? So I think, exactly. And but it doesn't matter if you're in cool Colorado or you're in Manhattan, like, you're going to get those types of people regardless. So I just think it's something that, like, when you guys are out, you have to really like, all right, you know, like, this is how we're going to play this. And it's up to you. That's what I think is, you guys are, and this is how I think people are like this, is you guys are in the, like, defense. I think you should be in the offense. I think you should be like, all right, where are we? Who's going to be around? Do we have the equipment? Do we have the backup? Like, if you're out in the middle of the woods, do we have halt spray just in case an off-leash dog comes up? Do we have an extra leash?
I don't know what that is.
It's just pepper spray. You can get on Chewy, get on Amazon. It's about the size of, it's a little bit smaller than this remote, and it's a little halt spray. It's capsaicin spray that you put on it. That's it. So we don't, like, again, when I walked my St. Bernard, he's trained. he's not going to go after other dogs, but I can't stop two or three dogs coming after him, and then he's finishing it, or he's getting double teamed, and then he has to protect himself. It's a mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the offense. So maybe a dog comes up, which has happened. I'm yelling and screaming, hey, get your dog, get your dog, get your dog. But if they're continuing to come, I just spray the spray, and then the dog runs away.
Okay.
I'm not going to, again, like if you guys are walking downtown Boulder or like a big city, you're not going to bring that, but you're going to say, hey, my dogs are leashed. Maybe I don't need to go to Main Street. Hey, you go grab coffee and bagels. I'll be back at the bus and we'll go eat, you know, at a different place. But that's so much easier to do than trying to fit something into something that's not going to fit. And I think that's what a lot of the reactive dog parents do, is they make this whole roadmap of changing the world. And really, if you just recluse out and say, I'm not going to deal with this shit, I'm just going to go over here, I'm going to do my own thing, I'm going to be, you got to just double check things. Like I said before, like if I had your dog and I was in that bus and I got off, I if you knew that there was another dog on the property, I would locate that dog before I let my dogs off. I just would. And then that never would have happened. But screw that. Let's say we know there's another dog. Our dogs are muzzled. Worst case scenario is the dog comes up, our dog scares the other dog away, and you guys are moving on.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And it's like, oh, yeah, this guy's blue. That's what happened. We have a reactive dog. This dog came up to us. You know what I mean? Like, and that's, I don't want to say it's appropriate, but it's warranted, like considered. I mean, that shit happens. It's unfortunate. Yeah. But again,
that's
like,
why he's in a muzzle, because
exactly,
we knew it was gonna happen.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, same thing. I want to go climbing. If there's going to be other dogs, you have to think about how much stress that's going to bring you and your dog. Your dog doesn't want to be there surrounded by a bunch of puppies that are not controlled, that are just tied up to a rock, spinning and pooping and chewing on themselves and flipping over. Your dog just doesn't want that shit. So that's what I mean, though, is like you guys have already done, like those dogs aren't going to be trained. Those dogs are just going to be those off-leash dogs, like the Colorado dogs. They're going to be off-leash. They're going to be roaming around. Their owner's not going to care, and it's whatever. But you don't want to put your dog into that situation. But I think a lot of people think that they're doing injustice to their dog if they don't try it. And I'm like, you're not going to be happy. Your dog's not going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Why would your dog just want to go sit there and watch? Oh, good job up there.
Good job, Jay.
Yeah, they don't care.
I have two questions. One being, with Perseus, he bites his own nails and he bites my nails, and we're like, I have never seen, so this is just like a purely, if you can give me like 15 or 20 seconds, like if he feels that I have long nails, he tries to like clean them, he like bites them off. It is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I have no idea. I've never heard that in my whole life.
Okay, we literally looked it up, we couldn't find anything.
There was nothing
about
on like dog trimming owner.
Yeah, it's a good YouTube title. I don't know.
Yeah.
I would just say, like, you know, dogs are to some degree like pack oriented, and so they it's not like, holy shit, that's crazy. I just never heard of it. But I would just, you know, just do like a leave it and
He leaves it. If you tell him to stop, he is so, like,
yeah,
for the most part. And then
there you go.
Yeah. And then my other question was, and this is the other part, is so Achilles, as soon as Perseus triggers or Achilles triggers, the other one goes, like, it is like, it is game on. Uh-huh. It is, let's go, and then let's redirect at each other. And Perseus, Achilles will always pin by holding.
Sometimes they redirect at each other. Sometimes they're like on the same team. But right. Sometimes it's,
right.
Regardless, Achilles will always grab any dog by the neck and hold them down, but doesn't like break skin ever. Like, always just like pins and holds. Whereas Perseus, every time he's nipped, he's broken skin. Like, he doesn't, and I think it might be, again, because he was taken from a puppy, like, at a young age from all of his other litter mates. He never learned to, like, not use so much force. Like, is there a way at this age for us to kind of be like, if you want to correct, it's fine, but you can't just, like, bite your brother and make him bleed, or bite Sue in the face and make her bleed. Like, he didn't even rip Sue, like, down, or, like, my friend's lip was fully ripped off by her Amstaff. It was nothing like that. It was, like, two puncture wounds, release, laid down, get out of my face. So like, it seems like he doesn't know how to, like,
well,
there's no middle correction.
Well, I think again, it kind of comes down to, so the person thing, like, it's not even a conversation I would even be willing to have, just because it's like,
it's a person.
Well, it's again, it's just, you mess with the bull, you get the horns. Mm-hmm. You know, and if somebody's like, hey, can I go mess with your bull? You're like, no. And they're like, well, I'm going to anyway. You're like, okay. And then they get bit. It's like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, I got nothing for that.
Yeah.
Because you already know that your dog.
I mean, like, I have liability insurance on both of them. Because
no, I know. Just... I'm just saying, like, your dogs have a history of being like, I don't care for this. And then somebody's sitting in your dog's face, and it's like, I don't know, like, what else you just asked for.
Is there a way, though, to, like, help him understand that, like, there's levels in which you can, like, tell somebody that you don't like something that it doesn't go immediately into bite with blood? That's what
I understand. It's hard to teach a dog to say, hey, when you bite somebody in the face, bite softer. That's hard. Because,
right. Or, like, dogs. Like, right. In general, though.
Well, right. And that's what I'm saying is like, you got to think that, especially with Amstaffs, like, they have the ability to crush bones for fun. So the fact that this particular dog reached out and just indented somebody else's skin and retrieved and said, quit messing with me. Can you please just leave me alone? That was a decision to say, like, can we not do this? Yeah. So,
it's still scary.
It's still scary. It's still inappropriate. It's still not okay. But at the same time, again, if I have a dog like Achilles or Perseus, right? And one of my relatives is like, hey, can I go hang out with your dog? I'd say no. Moving on. But again, like, this is where the no bad dogs things comes in, is you already know that your dogs do not like X. And X comes up and knocks on your door and says, can I go do this with your dogs? And you're like, even if you say no, it's like, it's crazy to sound, say, but I've had to pull people away from dogs who I've told will bite them, because they just, they either don't listen, or they have something to prove, or they want to sue you, or whatever. I mean, it just sucks. It's just the world that we live in. But again, here's the question. I'm gonna go back to the other dog thing, but the question that I'm hearing is, Achilles and Perseus do not like people in their face, or Perseus does not like people in their face. Yeah. Somebody came up and messed with him, put their face in their face, and he came out and just touched them with his teeth and said, please leave me alone. And then now they have a bite. And it's like, again, I'm not saying that that's appropriate, but when we talk about, like, dangerous dogs in the society and the court systems and what the state deems as that, and what dogs are actually dangerous, these are dogs that are actively going after people's faces, holding on and causing severe damage where they have to be airlifted and then have plastic surgery for 3 years. Mm-hmm. This wasn't that. This was...
There was 2 puncture wounds.
Right. But there's a fourth of an inch. There's a shield, you know, that should have been in front of... Like, if... Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My wife's downstairs. If I went downstairs and she said... Somebody just came in and took everything out of our house. I'd say, where were you? She'd be like, I was standing right here. I'm like, you didn't stop them? You did nothing?
No. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? That's how I'm hearing this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is you guys have to say, no, not going to happen. Because then your dogs are going to fail. And that's where the no bad dogs thing comes. Because your dogs are going to fail. And it's going to make them look like a jerk. You know, it'd be different if we were... hanging out and Perseus was licking this person's face and spinning around and jumping and they've been fine for months, and then all of a sudden, boom, that's a different conversation. But from my understanding, those circumstances were not that. It was just like my aunt wanted to pet my dog or get my dog's face. We knew it probably wasn't a good idea. We let it happen. Play stupid games, win stupid rewards. That's what happened. And it's, again, I'm not saying that it's okay for dogs to bite people in the face. I'm just being... the middleman here of like, come on. That's, you know, it's like, let's put the baby on the ground with Perseus and like, no. Nobody's in this dog's face because he doesn't like that. And if we allow somebody to do that, that's our fault ultimately. And it's a conversation that I just like, it's hard, you know, it's hard for me to progress from there. It's like, I don't even want to dig into why, what, when. It's like, you know, he doesn't like that and you allowed it to happen and then something bad happened. So,
you know. So it feels like from here, like the moving forward point then is like you're kind of like you're doing all the right things when you guys follow the rules, and 97% of the time you follow the rules and everything goes well. Like you guys need to do that 100% of the time and like make sure that they're taken care of. And then the other part of it is too, and maybe like I didn't interpret this correct, but it was kind of like don't don't try unless you guys are wanting to and have like approval from the other side to like move in a direction that's kind of trying to make him communicative or more social with other animals.
Yes. Ask yourself this. This will help. This is helpful. What is the worst case scenario that could happen? And if you're okay with that, move forward. If you're not, you don't. So the golden. Yeah. The owner says, hey, my golden is the sweetest thing, sweetest pie. And all of a sudden, the golden comes running down. Your dog's on a muzzle. You're like, I can't. I got nothing here. I'm screwed, especially if you're by yourself. Okay, you think in your head, worst case scenario is you try to let it happen. You see if they meet. If it turns out it doesn't work, then the golden tucks tail and runs away. And you're like, okay, that could have been worse, but it wasn't. So, you know, you're walking. Somebody says, oh, can I pet your dog? Nope. You're walking.
We're good at that.
You're walking. Right. You walk in. You see a dog off leash. Burr. See, I used to think different. I used to think that, oh, you see an off leash dog, that's the owner's responsibility. Well, over the years of working with thousands of dogs from Sydney, Australia to Tokyo to Colorado to wherever, I realized that actually, if you have a reactive dog, everyone else's dog is your responsibility. You have to say, I would assume it's like being like a Navy SEAL where you're like, you're kind of in public places and you're like, if shit, it's the fan, I am ultimately going to be responsible for all of these people because I have special training and I know more. And I was trained for this. And I feel like that's how reactive dog parents are, is you already know that you see Fufu up here waiting in line for their parents to get coffee in the morning and everybody's, and you're like, I am going the other way, or I'm turning off here, or I'm doing whatever. And I know that you guys are already doing that. I'm just saying, if you guys change your perspective, you will be happier because you're trying to do something that is not realistic. And here's what I mean by that. It's unrealistic to groom society to fit the needs of your dog, and you will always be chasing that and be unhappy if you continue to do that. Or you can say, here's 10 things, 5 things that I'm going to be doing that are going to help me be successful if a dog comes up under these circumstances. If we're downtown, here's what we're doing. If we're off leash in the middle of Jackson Hole, here's what we're doing. So I think if you have that game plan of like these 3 things, and you're just a little bit more in depth or a little bit more like assertive with how you're handling situations. Like if you're putting your dogs into a situation for potential risk, don't get mad if it happens. Period. Yeah. Right? So you call the Airbnb. Yeah, come on over. Great spot. It's beautiful. We have 3 dogs. You'll love them. Okay, we'll let you know. Right? Mm-hmm. Or you just know, like, hey, we have to be due diligent. Hey, why don't you go up in there and talk to all the dogs? I'm going to let these guys out really quick and pop them back in. Mm-hmm. Like those are just things. And I know it sounds silly and it's almost unfair. No, they shouldn't, because they don't understand what a reactive dog is. They don't understand what you guys are dealing with. They don't get it. And you don't have time to teach them. And a lot of people just don't understand it. They're like, oh, just let them off. And you're like, you don't. So I think you guys will be so much happier and so much less stressed if you just change your perspective of these types of situations. Now, going back to him becoming anxious around other dogs because of potential prior training, I think that that's something that you guys can work on with the right dogs. So the perfect dog to help desensitize and to counter, like, hey, it's not so bad, is another trained dog. If you have a friend or you have another trainer that you can work with to say, like, hey, listen, my obedience is great. I don't need any of that. Like you said to me, like if you dropped your dog off for boarding train, it would be desensitization getting closer to other dogs to coexist, because it would create a normalcy that you guys need. Right now, your dog sees a dog, he goes, oh shit, when's it coming? When's it coming? When's it coming? When's it coming? Potentially because of other trainers. Somebody else said, hey, when there's a dog and you look, some people will do that. If you have a reactive dog and they look at another dog, they nail them. I don't like that. I don't like that, because that defeats the purpose of trying to actually modify the perception of the dog's behavior. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
So
right.
we have clients, and I get it. They're like, is it okay if he looks? Of course it's okay if he looks. That's the goal. We want him to look. And actually, if he looks, we reward him for looking. So if you're in a training room and I come in with another dog and he looks, And then he looks back at you. Yes, good, leave it. Well done. Mm-hmm. But the way he's been trained from, I don't know for sure, but from my understanding has been if he sees another dog, he gets nailed. So his association with other dogs. See, and that's where the whole myth of this is what purely positive trainers like to bring out is they like to, and I guess it's the same thing with balanced dog trainers too. And I'm not really in either camp, to be honest. I'm just kind of doing my own thing as a teacher. But I think you just bring out the worst and the worst of both ends of the spectrum, the fully compulsive training and the fully purely positive trainers. And they both suck and you can't get shit done with either of them. And I think that that's what ends up happening is you get this theory of if you correct a dog, whenever they look at another dog, they're going to associate the two. But that's not the goal when we're doing behavior modification. Our goal is operant conditioning in a sense of if the we're only correcting the dog on time of the dog actually doing the behavior that we don't like. So if the dog looks at a dog, they're getting paid for being non-reactive and being neutral. As soon as the dog growls or lunges or whatever, that's when the pressure turns on. It just sounds to me like he hasn't had an opportunity to fully grasp that and capture that idea. So that's something that you guys can do is you get him out.
Okay.
Treats, balls, whatever he likes, no muzzle. And there's another dog in a proximity and you just keep getting that dog closer and you work on basic obedience and you're paying him for, so you're taking that, it's PTSD essentially is what it is, is he's associating other dogs with a correction because of prior things. So it's traumatic for him. He's like, I'm going to get nailed and this is going to suck. What you have to do is flip the script and say, no, this is great. Bang. No, this is great. Bang. No, this is great. Bang. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, so then if you break down
the people,
yeah, right.
That's how we did the go say hi with the treats.
Right.
You started to associate.
But again, you got to find the right dog because if you get a dog that's reactive or you get a dog that's too pushy or you get a dog that's too playful and rude and you get an owner that doesn't give a shit, you're in trouble. But if you can find somebody that says, hey man, you know, like, can we just train together? Like, you have a controlled dog. Like, having those neutral controlled dogs are such valuable to reactive dogs because it gives your dog an opportunity. Because if I brought my dog out, she would completely ignore your dog, and that would be new for your dog. You'd be like, your dog would be like, oh, wait, she's not.
No, he would lay down. That's the thing. It's the other dogs that are reactive. Like, he, like, wouldn't, he would cry for a few seconds. So, I mean, that's, I think that's really helpful for us, though, too.
I mean, yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot to unpack. It's a lot, you know, but I think, again, I think wrapping up the most important thing for you guys is to understand that I think if you know, you're just the definition of insanity is what you're dealing with. Like you're trying something over and you're like, but just don't do that. Just say, look, this is what we got and what we got is awesome. We just can't, you know, we just have to be, we have to be more strategic and be more management. So put more air quotes stress on the environments that you're putting your dogs in. I think you can live the best van life, bus life that you possibly can, traveling and going to different places that are very dog friendly. Like, okay, we see a coffee, man, you want a coffee? Okay, let's let the dogs over here by the river go potty and eat breakfast and we'll go up to the coffee shop and we'll go inside and enjoy ourselves. But I think what you're doing now, and I'm not being too granular, but it's like, how are we going to get our dogs in the coffee shop or something? It's like, don't. It's okay to just say, here's what I'm going to counter with alternatively. Like I said, like it's pouring here right now. And I knew that that was happening around 4 o'clock. So I ran my dog before because she hasn't gotten run. And I, you know, it's just, you just have to be, you just have to manage a little bit more. But more importantly, most importantly, is it's okay to do that because I think so many people are under the impression that if they can't bring their dog everywhere, that their training sucks. And that's not the case. So
yeah.
I think that was like really helpful. And I think that once we move into a house, we'll go get his treadmill again because he loves the treadmill. Right. When you release him from place, he runs onto the treadmill and looks at you. So,
Helpful.
I mean, like he's a very good boy. And I mean, I think it's also very helpful to hear that like that he didn't regress because I feel like that's been a conversation of like he's regressed because he like snapped and it's like the sky is blue, I think was.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Moving forward, you don't think that there's any, because like, so this happened with his family and they kind of were just like, you guys need more training. You guys need to do more things. Like, you don't think more training is going to do.
I mean, it's hard to tell non-dog people when a dog bites one in the face that like, oh, that was our fault. And that it's not that the dog needs training.
Correct.
Like, that's just a hard thing to explain to people.
It is. But that's why.
Yeah, like your professional opinion, do you think though that like there's just living life and learning in those instances rather than training itself?
Yeah, because again, you're missing the idea of the success of your dog either being like, hey, this is okay, I'm neutral, and mm-hmm. I'm a pissed about this, is the other dog.
Yeah.
So it's okay. Still it's still not a question of can your dog do it. I think mm-hmm. can your dog do it? Yes. But under the right circumstances. And that's what I'm saying is the success mm-hmm. is predicated off of the perfect storm of having the right dog. You're not just gonna mm-hmm. walk around randomly and look for dogs and be like, hey, let's see if this works. It's gonna take a neutral dog. So yeah. Can your dog play with other dogs and be neutral? Yes. You already know that. You did it the other day. Mm-hmm. But just in general, general, when you're out, just nobody, nothing. Because again, is there a risk for failure? Yes. Don't do it. What's the ROI? Nothing. Don't mm-hmm. do it. Okay. People do that all the time. Tom, I tried it. Why? What are you doing? What are you doing? Stop doing that. Like, don't try to make something work that you know is a really great chance of failure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's just like so silly. It's like showing up to a, it's just, yeah. You just be more logical and strategic. And like I said, just take a deep breath and go, hey, when we go places, like that's how I feel is I get that like way too. I get very overwhelmed. I'm like, hey, it's okay. Like you got all day, like just work until 12 and it'll be fine. Yeah. You know, but you got to get it done. So I think just take a deep breath and take a step back and go, okay, we got this. We can control this. This is what we need to do. But I think as soon as you start to take that triangle and you're like, let's make this work in this square, that's where people get frustrated. Mm-hmm. And that's where it's like, you're not setting yourself up. It's like, I want to be an NBA player. I'm like, that's not happening. So but I'm not losing sleep over it. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's just not going to happen. So anyway.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. You're welcome. This Perseus, is Perseus.
Perseus, thanks you as well. You.
You're welcome. No problem. Yeah.
Do you see? Yeah.
Good. There's literally nothing outside. He's growling at an empty window.
He's like, yeah, there's something there. But there was a bird. I think you guys got what you need. You have the foundation, which a lot of people don't have. And if you have the control, if you have the control with a reactive dog and there's a problem, it's because of you. You let something mm-hmm. into that equation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's helpful.
All right, you guys. Good luck with everything.
Thank you,
Tom. Thank you for your time.
Yeah. No problem. Bye. All right, you guys, you've reached the end of the podcast, which means I'm going to be answering. Normally I answer 3, but I'm going to be answering as 6 or as many left as we had. The last one we did was Hockey God 92. So now we are on to Elwood Gardens. If you guys want me to answer your dog training podcast, you have to head over to the iTunes. Spotify doesn't allow you to leave a review, unfortunately. You can rate things, but you can't leave an actual physical written review. So we're going to get into these right here. 5 stars from Law Elwood Gardens. Great to hear actual training sessions in a podcast. Really like the setup. Tom's willingness and ability to explain the same training points in many different ways so dog owners of all abilities can grasp the concept Tom is teaching. Fun and informative. This guy loves dogs. I'm a horse trainer and dabble in dog training with my own pup. My dog Gilly is 2 years old. He's a Weimer poodle mix. He is off leash all day with me at work on a large farm. He also joins my husband for hikes and he has down days, biking and resting on days. Here's the question. On days where we do less, what is Gilly supposed to do all day? Sleep? He is usually pretty tired from getting ran all of the other days and bored or just laying down. He kind of follows us around and get kind of antsy. I don't think I should be taking him on an exhausting day again. But is there something we could do? Yeah, I would just say basic obedience training. It's great that your dog has all of these really fun things that he's doing off leash and hikes and runs. And it sounds like 6 times a week he's out getting exhausted, which is great. It's like, it's awesome that he's out, you know, being a dog and getting all that energy out. So I would say maybe on his off days, to be honest, like at our facility, Sundays are our off days for our training clients. So we honestly, or our board and trains, we don't train because we give him an off day. So I think it's fine to just have an off day and let him be, you know, he's antsy because he's like, hey, when are we going? So I think that off day he should relax. But if you want to do a little mental stimulation with obedience, you could. So it's a great question. Thanks for thanks. Where's episode? Okay, this is another one from Haley Roser. Where did the 5-2 episode go? Wanted to listen again, but it vanished. It might have been deleted. There was one podcast where we filmed earlier this, or we recorded earlier this month, and this has only happened one other time, but the owner listened to it and they thought that because the dog had a bite history, it could hurt them in the future, which I totally understand. And we took it off. So if you ever see a podcast disappear, it's for one of those reasons. So just so you guys know, these are consulting podcasts where people pay to consult with me about their dogs. Obviously, it's what you're listening to. But in that form, we tell people like, hey, and not all the time. I've been really on my podcast game. If you guys haven't tell, I've been super consistent except when I went away last week, but I've been on it. So I've been recording as much as I possibly can, but I used to just record on the fly and on the go. So lately I've been recording pretty much everything. And anyway, so we do tell people like, hey, this is going to be recorded. This is something that, you know, is going to go up on the podcast. And she just, I guess, read past that or whatever, and she just didn't feel comfortable with it. So I don't know if that was the exact podcast, but that may have been it. Next one comes in from Liz and Bentley. Nervous service dog in training. Hi, Tom. Love all your videos and podcasts and episodes and everything you do for the community. I have a small 20-pound doodle who is in training to be a service dog. He is doing great with public access, but gets nervous around new people. Any advice for building confidence? He has great focus and heel. He just doesn't like when other people reach down to pet him. He recovers after it, despite the 10 signs of him saying, do not pet. This is kind of like the same thing we talked about in this particular podcast. So you probably know my answer by now, but I mean, the reality is if you're going to bring your dog, especially a service dog, not a therapy dog, if you're going to bring your dog out and you're going to be around people and you already know that your dog gets a little nervous, you have to do absolutely everything, unfortunately, you can to advocate for your dog. So it kind of sucks because, again, it's like what I said in this podcast, is because you have a dog that gets nervous or has a little issue, you have to protect your dog from people. It's like this sad world that we live in. And I know it's not everywhere, but it is unfortunate that it happens. So the only thing that you could possibly do is you can give something to these people that your dog loves to then associate with. But the problem is, it's just a service dog. So you can't do that. So if you have a service dog that's nervous with other people, you can't desensitize them because your dog shouldn't be interacting with these people anyway. So it all falls down to you advocating for your dog and protecting your dog, unfortunately. So I hope that that's helpful. All right, VKristen82, help. Hey, Tom, just found your podcast today and I'm binge listening. I love the content and like you are a straight shooter and tell it how it is. I rescued an adopted dog at 9 to 10 months old Rottweiler in January. This breed is not new to me. My family has had a Rottweiler. He did come with a questionable background with little to no training and some abuse, which I have never experienced. He is the sweetest and most loving boy, but he started to show some signs of aggression that we are struggling to figure out and what happened and what we can do to help. I keep hearing people say that he probably has PTSD and anything can trigger him, which we have to be extra careful with, etc. I don't know the details on what went through his past life, but he's clearly at a rough start. He will not be rehomed again. His home is with us, and we want him to live his best life, and I need to learn how to fix, air quotes, or correct the issue we are starting to see. My question is, can this behavior be fixed? I'm feeling defeated lately with him, and I want desperately to believe in what we can do to help him. If we find the right trainer system, we can correct the aggressive. Kristen, I'm so sorry to do this, but there is no context on this. I have no idea what he's doing. Is he aggressive to people? Is he aggressive to dogs? Is he aggressive to you? The only thing that I have, unfortunately, is he's showing signs of aggression. That is way too broad for me to give you any advice. It just says, how do we correct these aggressive or poor behaviors? If you could leave another review, that would be awesome. I have no idea what we're talking, or sign up for consulting. I have no idea what we're talking about here. Sorry, there's no context here. We have a dog that was abused. How do we fix the aggressive behavior? That's what I got. So anyway, wish I had more context for that. If you can give me more, that would be amazing. No rush, no worries. I'll still be here. If you guys want me to answer your specific dog training questions, make sure you head over to the iTunes review chart, leave your dog training questions, and I will answer them this next episode. I appreciate you guys so very much for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you so much. Bye.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.